Isn't it interesting how, as we get later in life, and the kids won't understand, we start to think about our death, and we plan for it. We get insurance, we get all these things, and we start to think about death. And it reminds me of this story about a priest where he's in his final hours of life, and he calls for two parishioners to come and be with him at his bedside. And the parishioners come, and one sits to his right and to his left, and he's holding their hands, and he's just quiet. And these parishioners are a little bit confused as to why they're there. You know, they didn't know the priest really well, but they attended church and everything, and they didn't have anything in common. The one was a local politician, and the other one worked for the IRS. And as they're lying there, they look at him and they say, "You know, Father, is there anything we can do for you?" And he says, "Gentlemen, I've tried to live my life as Christ lived his life. And just as Christ died, I want to die with thieves to my right and my left." Now, we sit here and we focus on death, and we think about that, but we don't necessarily think about how we're living our life and how that's going to transition into our death. And what I mean by this is that when we hear these stories today, and we hear about this rich man, would everyone agree this wasn't an inherently evil man? He didn't commit murders. He didn't do any of the really big thou shalt nots. He was, by all views of the story, just a regular person of wealth. Sometimes we can relate to that. Maybe not the wealth part, but just the, we don't do anything real bad. Right? How many people say to themselves at one time or another, "I'm generally a good person. Go to church every once in a while. I don't commit big crimes. I say prayers every once in a while. I'm going to go to heaven." Well, our readings show that it's more than that. I want you to think, when we think about Christ, was Christ a doer or was he one that just sat back? When he was asked, "What are the big commandments? You know, what are the most important commandments?" Remember, he didn't go with the thou shalt nots. What he said were the two biggest. Anyone remember? You shall love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he talked about doing. What the rich man did was what is often called a sin of omission. He failed to do what he was supposed to do. That should speak to all of us. John Paul II, during one of his when he was Pope, one of his many, many talks said that if there's any gospel reading that sits in the forefront of his head every day, it's this one. Because it speaks mostly to how we should act day in, day out. How many of you have seen the movie The Schindler's List? If you haven't, that's your assignment. Fantastic movie about a man named Oskar Schindler in World War II. He was a German businessman. Actually, he was a failed businessman, and he was a Catholic. And he went into business during the war, and he opened up a factory, a munitions factory, and he made a lot of money. Why? Because he used slave labor, and that labor was Jews in concentration camps. Well, then he learned, and he really realized what was going on, and he started using his money and his factory to save Jews. And he went broke because of it. But he saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jews that were destined for death. And for those of you that seen the movie and those that will, at the end, sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you just a little bit, a lot of the Jews are thanking him. And instead of being overjoyed over the thanks, he starts crying. And the reason he's crying is he's looking at his ring and he's going, "With that ring, I could have bought 10 more. I could have saved 10 more Jews. And with this car, I could have saved 5 more. And with this suit, I could have saved 2 more. I could have done so much more and I didn't." So at the end of the movie, he suffered from what he perceived was that sin of omission that he didn't start soon enough. So how do we change that? How do we make sure that we don't fall into that? Well, one way to do it is to make a conscious effort to do one thing each day in the way that we've been taught by God. One good thing. I want you to think of it like the scouts. Do a good turn daily. Go out and do one good thing. And then let it turn into two. One thing that you wouldn't have done before, you would have omitted that action. I want you to take that step and do one good thing. And then it turns into two, and then it turns into three. And soon, we're putting that omission stuff behind us. The second thing I want you to think about is if that man would have gotten a second chance, what would he have done? Do you think he'd have come back and just gone to church a little bit more often? Or do you think he'd have been very active in what he was meant to do? He would have become very active. He wouldn't have let outside forces influence what he was doing. He wouldn't let peer pressure influence what he was doing. He would have done what he needed to do, knowing what was coming if he didn't. That's us. Right now, we can consider this a second chance for those of us, myself included, who have omitted from doing things before. So I want us to go out. Because as the saying goes, you can ignore what's been said, but you can't ever say you didn't know. And we all of us have riches that we can share. It doesn't have to be money. It can be talents. It can be treasures. It can be things that we could just help out with. We all have that ability. And so I'm asking all of us to try to up our game a little bit and go do that. In doing that, we'll share eternity in heaven with Lazarus. Because the alternative is to be down with the rich man thinking, if only I would have.